So you get excited because they're excited, gets me excited, gets all our fans excited, and our sponsors. Yeah. So it's going to work out.
Bless you, boys! Unbelievable! I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
Step into the well-informed, ill-advised, and oddly entertaining world of Talkin' Sports.
Here we go!
Light the candle!
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Talkin' Sports number 301 on the Talkin' Audio Podcast Network. Rob's back in the studio, out of bed, back dressed again. What's happening?
You know, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
I'm loving life. just sitting back, looking for my... Yeah, there we go.
All right.
Okay.
See, that didn't come off well over the phone on the last show. It was loud and obnoxious and...
Okay.
You don't remember this? We talked about this. Your beer crack.
I was going to say, you're talking about the beer opening or you're talking about me?
Well, it could be two things.
You know what?
No.
We're talking about the intro.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Eugene. Nobody's fucking getting excited. Get your shit taken care of and then move along.
What was this thing a week ago, and we're going way back, maybe 2 weeks ago, where he's talking about, we're going to spend close to the cap in 21 and 22. You're like...
21 through 25, and there'll be five unprecedented years of success.
Like, bold fucking strategy to open up the wallet after Carlson and potentially after Duchesne and after Stone have left.
Yeah,
we're gonna spend on who
you? Yeah, and where's the money coming from?
Right,
if it's LeBreton, that's not even close to the timeline.
Right,
right. You're not gonna get that. Is it an investment of cash coming in from somewhere else? Then spend it now, motherfucker. Yeah, hopefully it's with you as a minority owner, Eugene.
No, it's true, man.
So yeah, honestly, that we'll skip away from that. But yeah, that guy.
I wanted to hit you with what I thought was
I wanted to hit you with a sack full of nickels.
I get that a lot.
Yeah.
What I thought was a great trivia question I heard earlier today. And I'm not going to give you too long, but it is at my discretion. There is no set. When it looks like you've bottomed out, I'm just going to stop you. Can you name 15 NHL captains who have been traded while captain of their team, and go.
Dion Phaneuf.
Yes. One. You're starting slow. This scares me that this wasn't it.
Mark Messier.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you're stumbling.
Well, I don't have a whole list of every single one of them.
Bob Gainey, Guy Carbonneau.
You are so... How about... Okay. Think closer to home, man.
Wayne Gretzky.
Yes.
Okay. Eric Karlsson.
Yes.
Patrick Marleau. No, he didn't get traded.
And wasn't the captain.
He had already been stripped, I imagine,
twice,
at some
I
point.
Think.
Martin Saint-Louis.
Yes.
You're
missing another senator. Pretty recent one.
Jason Spezza.
Yep. Couple more Leafs.
Wendell Clark.
Yep.
Doug Gilmour.
Yep.
Rick Vive.
Okay, I think we're done with the Leafs.
Wilf Paymoff. Esposito.
Okay, we're getting a little further back from my knowledge. I have no idea.
Bobby Orr.
Wasn't captain.
Ted Lindsay.
Yeah, no, way more recent, man. There's a ton of them.
All right. How about Finnish guy? We used to be captain in Nashville. Finished his career in Philly. Timonen.
Finished his career in Chicago.
Yep. That's the guy I'm talking about.
Might have been a free agent.
Kimmo Timonen.
Yeah.
All right. See, you don't even know the answers.
Oh, I knew earlier. Okay. If you had hit 15, I'd have recognized.
I've already hit 15.
Okay, how about this? Name four guys that Mike Milbury...
Jerome McGinley.
Yes. Yeah, I left as a free agent. No, he was... How about Ryan Smith, though? I'm watching this on YouTube earlier. Someone else is running through this quiz and just screaming at my screen. Brian Smith, you idiots! But he's buzzed through 15 of them in like 17 seconds, so I'm probably the real idiot.
All right. Well, then.
Four guys that Mike Milbury traded who became all-stars after he did it.
Milbury. And yep. They were all captains?
No, sorry. Oh. This okay. is new. No, this is now a new question.
All right, sorry.
Mike Milbury traded four guys who became all-stars later.
Luongo.
Yes.
Pavel Kvasia.
No. It's Oleg Kvasia. You ignorant fuck. Who doesn't know Oleg Kvasia?
Christ, I don't know.
Yeah. Two of them were in one trade to Vancouver.
Okay. Yeah, like I don't know.
Todd Bertuzzi and Brian McCabe.
Okay, terrible. Neither one of those guys are fucking.
And Zdeno Chara is the obvious one you missed.
Okay.
So that's it. I was just fucking around on YouTube earlier in the day, and people were doing their own hockey trivia stuff.
I feel like this point in the day, my brain is not. There's not enough beer on my brain. There's not enough
moisture. We did get to the bottom of the keg just before we came in here. Well, that was both a triumph and a disappointment.
It was a disappointment because I hadn't pulled my second pint out of it yet.
Yeah, all right. So it's a triumph for me.
We're going to have a go with this. Yeah, because well, yeah, you're heading out of town. You're like, oh, I don't want to.
Got to finish this.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'll be over. I'll help you out with a liter or two, maybe three.
I don't need you.
Yeah, clearly. Don't bother showing up, loser. I got that half a liter myself.
Yeah.
I don't need your help.
Yeah. Well.
Hey, before we get into the meat of this, I threw it out earlier. And
isn't
you,
this it?
And you had, it's in my hand right now.
Speaking of disappointments. Yeah,
it's at least in a quarter of my hand. I got big hands, people. Yeah, I was asking you about the Matt Kuchar.
Okay.
And you said you didn't know who Matt Kuchar was.
Right. Doesn't sound like you do.
Yeah, no, but you hear it a bunch of different places. But when you hear them, you hear it on the golf
course. Now that you've said it, it sounds vaguely familiar in writing. No, I had no fucking clue.
Kuchar.
Yeah, Matt Kuchar.
So he's never won an Open, but he is rolling in cash. He's won a pile of other tournaments.
Right.
He's got himself into a bit of hot water. Maybe not. We'll see what you think. He went down. He was in Mexico at a tournament. Won $1.3 million.
Didn't get out alive.
Okay, no, totally good, totally good.
I don't know. Canadians in Mexico.
He didn't have it. Well, he's not Canadian, so he's okay.
All right.
People see him as an American at some place they want to go. So don't harm.
Yeah.
Don't harm the gringo. So instead of bringing,
you got room in your ass to take something home with you.
No, Kuchar's pretty. He's one of those fit golfers, young guy.
That doesn't mean anything.
Okay, so and it's like Puff the Magic Dragon. To be honest with you, he wins $1.3 million. His normal $1.3 million okay. USD.
All right.
Doesn't have his normal caddy there with him. He picks up a club caddy.
Yep.
Okay, and he pays the caddy $5,000.
That's fucking light, man.
Okay, well, normal, the going rate for a caddy is 10% of your winnings.
Okay, so it's wicked light.
Wicked light. And so this guy's got, I don't know, $48 million in earnings, right? Takes home a cool $1.3 million and gives his caddy.
Here's cab fare. Get the fuck out of here.
And what he said was, hey, that's the contract. I said to him, hey, $3,000 for the weekend, four if I finish in the top 10, or $2,000, three if I make the cut, four if I finish top 10. And he wins it, gets 1.3, and he gives him a grand bonus. He's like, I gave him a bonus of $1,000. $5,000.
I'm not buying it, man. Don't be selling that shit here.
Okay,
that's a shitty contract.
Okay, so And again, so do you think he has...
The fucking guy from Happy Gilmore with one shoe on.
Okay, well, see, and to me, this
it's
totally...
a little downhill.
People love him, right?
Like, yeah, the, it only looks that way because he only got one shoe on.
The chant of, cooch, when he's on the chorus. Like, people love him. He's got this big, easy grin. He looks like the nicest guy.
Yeah.
You fucking... you shystered the guy.
Honest to God, man.
Hey, okay, so... He's saying, hey, we wrote up a contract in advance. This guy knew this.
So this is a thing. Everyone's all over him. That,
well, see, because the
like, how does this get out?
Okay, the caddy.
Okay, so the caddy wasn't happy with the contract either.
Right, okay, see, the caddy, obviously, he gets the money, and he's saying, yeah, he gave me an envelope full of cash. He goes, and so
that's
I just...
business is done in Mexico.
Right, well, this is for sure it is.
Envelope full of something.
And so, or your head's in the middle of the, you know, public square.
Sure.
Right, and so... I guess later on, the other caddies are like, hey, man, that's way, way low.
Right.
Right? You got to get more cash from that. And so he goes to, this is back in November.
Okay.
So he goes back to Kuchar's agent and says, hey, I need more, this isn't right. I need more money.
Right.
And his agent says, yeah, you know what? You signed a contract, but we'll give you another $15,000.
If you shut the fuck up.
Right.
And he didn't shut the fuck up.
Well, he's like, you know what? Stop your fucking cash.
Yeah, you know what? I'm swinging Cooch's way now, man. You're starting to move me here.
I'm going to golf.com. Right? And so he goes, spills the story. Okay, but to me, the part that makes me, and I agree, to me, if you signed this deal, if I say to
and
you.
And I've sweetened it twice now for you.
If I say to
one
you.
One of those sweetenings was three times the initial deal.
Right, well, giving you $20,000 in total.
Yeah.
Okay, but so to me, where the luster comes off of Kuchar's argument is when he's asked about, he's like, hey, okay, we signed the deal. We signed a contract.
Yeah.
And he's like, and I don't get it. He's like, this is a guy who makes $200 a day normally. This is a good payday for him. Hey, Poncho, take your pesos and run. I just add the last part.
Yeah, for sure.
But this is what he's saying. He's like, hey, the whole idea that I've made 1.3 and you've helped me win this tournament, but I'm going to devalue all that by saying you're just a fucking.
Hey, buddy, I could have grabbed my own 5-iron if I had to.
I could have carried my own bag and pulled down 650 gur. I don't need your sweaty back help.
Yeah, you know what, man? Cooch isn't coming off great, but there is a certain amount of. This is what we agreed to. I topped you up that day. I topped you up again months later.
No, offered to top. He didn't take the money.
Oh, he didn't take the 15.
He didn't take the 15.
Well, that fucking probably feels pretty stupid now. But
he'll always have his fucking dignity, you know, man.
Okay.
That won't buy you. That won't buy you a pot of beans and rice. Right. I'm telling you right
now. We're going to get to a man who held on to his dignity at all cost on Audio Whiplash at the end of the long weekend here.
That's another dumb fuck. Just
honest to
just
God.
Just to tease that for you people.
Yeah, hang around. Yeah, but you know what? I think if Cooch is willing there, almost in Trumpian fashion, to just say what he fucking thinks and take the PR storm, yeah, man, we had a contract and I topped him up. Fuck that.
Yeah.
We're good here.
Yep, well, okay, and that's all. I was interested because to me, I see the merit to both sides.
Sure.
Hey, I said to you,
I'll give
you $4,000. I didn't dupe you. I told you flat out.
Yeah.
I'll give you $4,000.
But somehow this guy doesn't fucking know what he's supposed to make, I guess.
Right. Or well, it doesn't know that every other caddy there is probably making 10%.
Mexican.
So instead of $130,000.
What's the Mexican John Deere? The Juan Deere Classic somewhere down in fucking Guadalajara. Who the hell cares?
Yeah.
And he's fucking unhappy with his payday.
Well, I'm thinking if you're making $200 American a day down there working at a prestigious golf course, you're probably not doing too bad.
No, it's true.
Anyways.
Yeah.
All right. Just to me, it's an interesting talking point.
For sure, man. I enjoyed that.
Okay. How about Evgeny Malkin?
Yeah.
That to me is a real.
On Raffle. What's his name? Mike, not Mike. Anyway.
Rathje.
Yeah, Mike Rathje. There's a nice fucking throwback. Penguins Flyers, anyway.
Yeah.
This is always an intense battle in what the NHL allows to be an intense battle in 2019. But essentially, Raffle goes into Malkin with you know, he's kind of the elbows up and a couple of shots and a bit of a cross. And Malkin turns around in the baseball swing trying to take this guy's fucking head off.
Yeah.
Misses.
Like, honestly, like, but wicked intent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's trying to fucking decapitate this guy. Misses him. Hilariously, Raffle still drops and rolls and covers like he's been fucking...
Yeah.
There's not even a...
The wind took my contact in.
Honestly, man. The hint... There's not a hint of contact to this. I mean, down, selling it, and then just... Oh, fuck. All right. Gets up and skates. The NHL gives Malkin one game.
Bullshit.
It's too much, right? This is Brashear and McSorley. This is
Brad May. This is Simon on Holwig. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah. So Malkin.
All those guys that we just mentioned got in excess of 20 games.
So where do you stand on this? Is this he's a big name or is this he didn't make contact? Is this just.
Well, and if you remember, so all those guys, and we talked about Brad May, Chris Simon.
Marty McSorley.
Yeah, all those guys getting in excess of 20.
Yeah.
You got Duncan Keith on Charlie Coyle just a couple years ago, if you remember.
I don't.
Okay. He smoked him in the head. Right.
With a stick?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And he got 6 games.
All right.
5 regular season, 1 playoff game.
Okay.
Which
counts for 2.
Yeah, at least. Maybe 3.
Yeah.
But so... Yeah, to me that is, okay, because he contacted, he is a star player, or at least comes with that pedigree.
Malkin now.
No.
Oh, still Duncan Keith.
Duncan Keith.
Yeah, okay.
So he gets a 6,
yep.
which is hefty, but not to me it doesn't fit the crime.
Right.
Right, especially when you have the precedent. All those other guys are easily suspendable because they're...
Goons.
Yeah. They've got histories of doing thuggish things.
Right.
Yeah, to me, and you brought it up with the McNabb hit
on Andreas Johansson
last night.
Yeah.
No,
it was the other night.
In the Vegas Leaf game.
Yeah, with a knee on knee instead of, or turned out to be knee on thigh.
Yeah.
But again, McNabb with a fucking wicked history. And Johansson narrowly avoids catastrophe in terms of fucking injury. But that guy... could have just as easily blown his knee out and his season was over.
Right. Now, like, and we're not comparing McNabb and Malkin, but what I do want to bring attention to is intent.
Yeah.
When you stick your leg out, you are intending to clip that guy. Maybe not do harm. Maybe that's not
he was smiling in the penalty box. Afterwards, that footage started making its way around while Johnson's still down on the ice. He's grinning at him in the penalty box. And McNabb has a history of this, right? Like, not while he was in Vegas, but I think he was in Buffalo before this, also in the OHL. So not unprecedented. Not nearly as different type of danger.
For sure it is.
From swinging at someone's fucking head. But you're talking about a bottom pair defenseman or Evgeny Malkin, right?
Yeah. Like, but the difference also is they're saying, it was knee to thigh.
Yes.
He got the 2 minutes. That's it.
Yeah.
There is no further suspension or...
Could have been a 5-minute call, could have been a fine, could have been...
Right.
A game misconduct.
To me, when you do that, that needs to be looked at.
Yeah.
Whereas Malkin...
I didn't know 2 minutes kneeing was a thing. I thought kneeing was always 5. Not necessarily with a game, but I thought kneeing was a major. I don't know if I've seen a 2-minute kneeing penalty.
Well, see, I thought kneeing was only a 2-minute.
Okay. Well, there you go.
I think quite often it's the difference is I need him in the thigh,
right?
As opposed to I got a crazy bad knee on knee hit,
right? Which comes with 10 games afterwards
for sure.
Yeah,
those are the ones where you go major,
right?
But clearly the refs didn't feel that was the intent. But again, as you said, track record speaks.
Yep,
as it did with Simon May, McSorley, all those guys. Malkin clearly meant to do grievous bodily harm.
He's a bit of a red mist guy. Like, it's not talked about a bit, but every now and then he fucking loses it, right? And
he's the chippiest, dirtiest guy.
Yeah, he's low-key dirty, man. Like,
he's always slashing guys and you go to the bench, he's sticking guys. He's trying to make his own space. I get it. As a guy who doesn't, you know, who's a big body guy.
He's a big motherfucker, yeah.
Yeah, but he's always sticking guys and punching guys with his gloves on and just do stuff,
yeah.
Right? But he clearly meant to do harm and to get one game. And that to me is, if he connects with that, you got to give that guy
20
games, judging by the rest of them.
Yep.
But
yeah, if he connects, Roffle has fucked up and you got to give him 20 games. He misses and it's one game. And I think that's your point, right?
That is exactly my point.
Intent versus result. And where do we...
You can't penalize the result.
Right.
Right? That's like those stupid mouth breathers who go, well, if I hit you and there's nothing, you're fine. If I hit you to the head and you get up and you skate away and you're fine, there should be no penalty on it.
Yeah.
Or, but if you miss a month, well, then I should be suspended for a month. Right? You've heard yeah, that, right?
Yep, for sure.
That to me is the same thing. You go, oh, he didn't make contact.
He clearly tried to take his fucking
head off. But he wanted to.
Yeah, for sure he did.
I don't get it. So what if I broke my, if he breaks his jaw, then what? Do I only get to eat liquids for the next 6 weeks too?
Yeah, and so you're now sort of onto this. You're suspended as long as the guy's hurt. Sort of thing.
I'm just saying. To me, the whole thing is stupid. You can't. You gotta penalize on intent.
Right. And this intent was fucking awful. So, do you think, to circle all the way back around, that this was because he missed, or because he's a superstar that he got off light?
Get a little column A.
Okay.
A little column B.
Yeah.
Right. It's Malkin, and I'd be interested to see if somebody, Tom Wilson.
It's Tom Wilson, for sure.
If Tom Wilson swings his stick and almost hits a guy in the face, there's
outrage. The rest of his season.
There's outrage.
For sure. Because you don't get the benefit of the doubt anymore. You've had enough fucking, if Radko Gudas in that same game had done the same thing to Malkin, rest of the season, right? You're a fucking goon. You're a dirty player.
You're a dirty player for sure, man. Yeah. But
I hope the Leafs pick him up, by the way, by the deadline.
Yeah, well.
He'd look good on our blue line.
Okay, shot
right
blocker.
Beside Gardner.
Yeah, hits. Well, Muzzin keeps working his way down the lineup, so.
I'm not sure what Babs is doing there, but
by the next time, you got Ron Hainsey. I thought you brought Muzzin in to keep Ron Hainsey out of your top pair.
A lot of us thought that.
And you've given up your first, and now you got Ron Hainsey in your top pair again. Yeah.
It's not going great, man.
Okay. Anyway, the team seems to be doing fine, and Muzzin's still a great player, but
sure.
You're like, fucking Ron Hainsey, he's still there.
Yeah, there's a lot of, what are we doing here, man? Like, why does Ron Hainsey have more minutes than Dermott and Muzzin and Gardner?
And why is Andreas Janssen on the fourth line or playing that far down the lineup anyways?
Moved him up to the third line in that game. And if he'd stayed on the fourth, he never would have been injured. would have been my boy Connor Brown
being mowed
down.
And I think there's
mowed
I think,
down
I think
Connor
there's
Brown.
Yeah I think mowed down Connor Brown. Good one. I think there's talk like Janssen could be the Leafs' best left winger.
Basically, he is their best left winger for sure. So
hanging out down there in the bottom.
Hey,
see ya.
Interesting, and I don't know enough about whatever, but I saw
anything
a Leaf fan who was saying that they would like to see Kyle Dubas talking to Pierre Dorion about Ryan Dzingel as a left side guy who for the rest of one season could push some of those guys down a little bit. I think the price is going to be high for all three of Ottawa's.
Yep.
And I think it's probably got a bit of a premium on it for
you could have
down the highway. Nah, we're good. Loving Ron Hainsey.
Gotta get me more Ron Hainsey.
But he'd be an interesting fit on our left side for a playoff run and whatever. But I think there's also, I think it's going to be expensive, and I think it's probably a little more expensive to be traded to the blue team.
Okay, for sure. Yeah. And the reality is he becomes expendable, which means we're going to sign him.
Love that.
Because as a sixth-round guy, he is essentially, as a 25, he's going to get 30 goals this year probably.
Yeah, looks like it.
That is massively topped out, right?
He's now, is he not at like 1.6 or something that he's making?
Yep.
Something stupid? Like.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I don't want to be the guy that pays that guy.
No. No. I don't want to keep him past
right
this year.
Okay. And perfect. And that's what I'm saying. That's why we're going to sign him for 5 years, because we're going to lose the other two and then have to
save face. We're keeping Dzingel and CeCe.
When really it's he needs to be the one that goes too.
Yeah.
But yeah, somebody's going to pay that guy.
You think there's any chance all three of those guys? Well, what are the odds all three of those guys are gone by the deadline?
Not good. Not good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I say, which one?
Which one's staying?
Dzingel.
Okay.
Yeah. I think
Duchesne is going to stay. I think Stone and Dzingel are gone. Dzingel's just an easier flip, right? He's having a good year, but you'll get what you get for that guy, whether it's a prospect or a good pick or whatever.
Right.
Stone is, because of how quiet it's been, and I know he's more of a private guy, I don't know. It just feels like.
Well, you see, Thursday night last week, he was Dorian, Peter McTavish, his assistant GM, and their head scout were all in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And Winnipeg had their head scout.
Yep.
And one of their other guys in Detroit watching Detroit and Ottawa.
Yeah.
Five guys?
Well, and Winnipeg has been the top talk for a long time about Mark Stone.
Well, and Stone's a Winnipeg guy for any of you out there who...
He would fit very nicely there.
But it's not exactly what they need.
No, it's not. And I don't think they can afford to re-sign him long-term after, with Connor and Line A coming up, and we're going to get to Line A here in a few minutes. I'm not sure if they could afford to keep him. Like, that's a pure rental.
See, they'll have to pay too much money
for
a rental to bring that guy in.
Right.
But yeah, that means you're sticking with Little as your second line center, and I don't think they're 100% happy with that.
No, that hasn't clicked at all with Line A, so...
Trust me. It hasn't.
So, a lot of talk that maybe Kevin Hayes out of New York might fit nicely there as a guy who loves to distribute. If you put him between Ehlers when he gets back in Line A, or even Kyle Connor and Line A, right? Like a guy who is happy to dish.
And Hayes is a nice player.
Yeah, for sure. You don't go necessarily big game hunting like you did on Stastny last year. You just find the guy you need, right? And who's a better fit for what you're looking to do.
Well, and I think Hayes could do what Stastny did last
year. Yeah, I do too.
I don't think it's that big a step back from Stastny.
Yeah, no, I think he could fit with those guys. And now you've put Little down on your third line, even though he's probably, if we're comparing, I'd rather have Little than Hayes, but Hayes fits with your second line wingers better than
doing what he does.
Yes.
Yep.
So now Little moves down to the third line, and all of a sudden you're incredibly deep up the middle, right? Because with Line A doing what he's doing, I'm not as scared of Winnipeg this year as I was last year. The defense is still great. The top line is still great.
See, because he's got 24 goals, but 17 came in the month of November.
Yeah.
Right? After a stone cold
November
October.
Or December.
November.
Three in October, 17 in November, three in December, and I think two since then or something like that. Like it's so.
Well, and I have him in the pool.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking at his stat line every night he plays.
Right.
And there's a pile of nights where he's not doing anything. That's a guy who, if he's not scoring.
No.
He's doing sweet fuck all.
And they're saying half his problem is he's just stationary, right? He's been around long enough that even on the power play, when you set him up, everyone knows it's coming. He's not moving. They've kind of figured him out a little bit, and now it's his job to adjust again. And I wonder, like, let's get into this.
Well, I'm looking at his shot totals.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, his shot totals are one, two.
Well, they're either
getting
broken up before it gets to him, or it's getting blocked.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows what's coming, right? Are you prepared to give that guy 8 years based on 2 years of great work and 1 month? Or is this, like, to me, this looks like a bridge, right? Are you just having some trouble right now and let's give you 2 or 3 years and see what happens and then we can talk again? I don't know if I'm ready to give him 8 years at the money he's going to want.
Yeah, I think you want to keep it shorter than 3 or 4 years.
Like, I think he's going to be fine, but we don't know he's going to be fine, right?
Like, right. All I'm suggesting is you are looking at a situation where if you give him 2 or 3 years and that takes him up to 24 or whatever that is.
2 or 3 years would keep him out of UFA 4 years right. would march him to a UFA.
Right. And if he kills it at that point, if this is just a blip, and again, I'm not suggesting that he's a bum or
no.
or it's skidding out, but he has shown himself to be fairly one-dimensional and needs to find a way to help in other ways other than just scoring.
Yeah.
Because to me, as we talked about with Kessel in the past, if you're going to be a one-trick pony, that's a good trick to have.
It's a good trick, yeah.
But if you're not,
yeah,
right, and if you're going through 15-game slumps where not only you're not scoring, but you're a dash crooked number.
Right.
And your shot totals are low and there's no hits. There's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're a jersey taking up a spot on the top two lines.
I have a real problem with forwards wearing number two as well. Like, come on, man. Just stupid.
Be better than that.
Yeah, honestly.
Seeing your crooked beard doesn't work either. Nobody likes that. Lose that.
Yeah, no, I think that's an interesting one because he's easily going to want, and rightfully so, he's going to want at least, you know, when we talk about wingers, he's going to want Marner money, right? Like he's going to want Rantanen money. He doesn't feel like he's behind any of those guys. And I wouldn't give that to him yet on 8 years. So you may have to take 2 or 3 years at 6 or 7 million. Show me that you are going to be a regular 40-goal guy at least. And then we can talk again about your $10 million deal, right?
Like, well, yeah. And it has to be because at this point, I haven't even, I'm not a GM.
You're not.
I just play one on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not getting Marner money.
Not right now.
No.
Got to be more consistent.
Well, this is it. Well, not just. I think at this point, if you want 40-goal man money, like his numbers are a bit Heisman-like too, right? Where he comes up with the...
But he's going to end at 30. Like he got 17 of those in whatever, but he's at 25 now. He's easily getting 5 in the last month and a half here. So the question becomes, as a GM, do you care how he got there? And I do.
Well, I do too.
Yeah.
Because there's great stretches of... There's many nights where
you're not helping me at all.
He's had... At least 2 hat tricks and a 5-goal game.
Right. Right.
Christ, man, there's 11. There's almost half of your goals in 3 games.
Yeah.
That's like the year that Kovalev played in Ottawa and he had 7 goals and they came in 2 games. He had a 4-goal game and a 3-goal game. You're like, there's 80 games where you did jack squat.
Holy fuck. I had no idea, man.
Like, you're like, man, that's brutal. And so you're like, and I was there. I saw the 4-goal game live. And it was awesome.
This guy's the best.
The crowd was loving him, yeah. Right? And he's out there moonwalking on the ice, right? Everyone's loving it. But yeah, the rest of the night.
See you in 3 months.
Well, we can thank Brian Boucher for that, right? Lit up the Flyers and one of their gajillion goalies.
Brian Boucher also holds the record for longest shutout streak in the league. Talk about your hot and cold fucking...
Yeah. Yeah.
I know we wanted to touch a little bit on CFL free agency. Especially around here, the fan base is feeling a little gutted. Some interesting moves out west. Where do you want to start, man? What caught your eye?
Well, to me, again, we're going to touch back on when you have one agent, right? One player agent.
Yes.
Who's representing Bo Levi Mitchell.
Mike Riley,
Trevor Harris,
yep.
Zach Collaros.
Yeah. How does that happen?
Right. Of course, the market is getting set by one man, right?
Yeah.
When you know, Mike Riley wants to leave Edmonton to be closer to home, and I get
Riley's so full of shit.
He's
standing there in Vancouver going, I just wanted the best chance to win over and over. You left Edmonton to come. Just say it. I wanted to be close to home. That's a totally reasonable.
Nobody leaves Edmonton in the CFL to go to BC. Because they want to win.
Right.
That's going to be my best chance to win.
There's literally nothing wrong with saying, this is closest to my family. This is, you know, where we... That would have been fine. But to say that this is best for my... Yeah, shut the fuck up.
How about this feels like home? Right. Give me some of that. Give me anything, right? This is where I started my career.
Right.
This is like coming home. I love it here, right? Yeah. And so these sorts of things. To pay that guy $720,
yeah.
There's still a salary cap in this league.
Yep.
And at $5 million, you got to pay a gajillion guys out of that $5 million bucks to pay that much to a quarterback. It seems like we're trending down a very slippery slope, right? And then Bo Levi goes and signs for $750-ish.
He had the luxury of Toronto pushing that up a little bit, right? Like,
well,
not to say that Mike Riley didn't have other suitors. Obviously, he would have, but
right. But to me, Mike Riley was staying in Edmonton, or he was was going to BC.
I think so too. Yeah.
So, and there was no way in hell Bo Levi is going up the highway.
No.
To Calgary, I mean to Edmonton.
He was going to Saskatchewan or Toronto or staying in Calgary.
And to me, there was really only one option. He was going to hold the clipboard in the NFL.
Yeah.
Or he was going to stay in Calgary. There's no way with the relationship he has with Dickinson,
yep,
and all that stuff. He wasn't leaving Calgary for another CFL team. He's set up there like the man. So
yeah. No, it's true. I wonder if there wasn't more of a – and this – I was listening to Justin Dunk talk about this on the Three Down Nation podcast. If you're a CFL guy, it's a great listen. Whether or not introducing more of a – similar to the NHL, similar to the NBA, the pre-free agency courting period, whether or not Toronto might have had a better chance at Bo Levi, you bring him in, and even though you can only pay him what you can pay him in the CFL, you do the MLSE thing like they did with a couple of receivers last year. Like they, oh, you know, got a couple of courtside tickets to the Raptors tonight if you want to stick around, right? Like little things like that. I don't know that that's enough to bring Bo Levi out of Calgary, but it might make things a little more interesting and a little less bullshit 10 minutes after free agency opens in the CFL, where clearly everyone's tampering, if you want to call it that. But this stuff was all decided long before free agency actually opened, right? I think Toronto might have been able to, if they could have wooed him a little, bring him in on that MLSE jet, right? Like stupid shit like that, that is the only chance they have of...
Yeah, no, I agree. To me... Yeah, as an American guy, but now he's been in Calgary for long enough.
No, it's true. And his family's comfortable there.
And he is he's well entrenched there. And
when they've won now, right? Like if they had another horrible flame out in the Grey Cup, maybe he's more willing to.
Good, you've got two in your 10 years of unprecedented success. You've bookended it.
Sure. But if he had lost again, maybe it's too toxic. Maybe he's more willing to go look at something else. But they won now. Maybe he can sort of work on his legacy or
what. See, and I don't know where he's from. I'm sort of talking out of ignorance on this.
That should have been the name of this podcast.
Yes.
Not just this episode.
Yeah. What?
talking
out of ignorance. I like it, man.
Yeah, it's true.
It's not too late to rebrand.
No, it's true. Well, there's always time.
The next 500 shows.
Yeah.
He doesn't strike me as a guy who's going to love the big metropolitan feel that comes with Toronto. I get the feeling that he's
probably true.
He's sort of he may have cow shit on his boots.
Right.
I'm not entirely sure.
A Midwestern kid who doesn't mind Calgary
and that is a little closer to his own feel and
taste. I am surprised it isn't more of a thing in the CFL for some of these Americans, not necessarily him that come up,
they want to be in BC or Toronto or maybe Montreal.
Montreal, yeah. Like the big city,
yeah,
urban scene, right? Like never seems to really matter.
Well,
never seems to be a draw at all.
I think the issue is it comes down to dineros, to dollars, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go wherever. Me enough to live the high life.
This is exactly right.
I can't even get a fucking condo up in Scarborough.
If the top receiver that I can pitch some shit off of, right? Like what's happening?
Yeah.
If you were going to only make if the top receiver's making 150,
yeah.
Oof, you know, you're just sort of, man, live where the living is easy.
What did you think about what happened in Ottawa?
Yeah, I think I am. I'm much more optimistic than most fans here.
I am now. I wasn't that day.
Well, people are up in arms. To me, what you have is in Trevor Harris. I think you're cutting bait on that guy at the right time. Ask most Ottawa fans prior to that Eastern Final. Most fans
were not
sold on him,
yeah,
right? And then you look at what he did in the Grey Cup,
yeah,
and you're like, that's more like what we saw all season.
Right.
That's where are those five or six touchdowns from the East Final?
Right.
We need some of that shit right now. He's not mobile. If the O-line in Edmonton can protect him, they're going to do quite well.
Took a big part of it with him.
Yep.
And Sir Vincent Rogers goes out there with him.
God, he did an outstanding interview on local radio on the way to town. Class guy, Sir V.
Not everybody was quite so classy. As Powell also leaves.
Good riddance, Powell. You, my friend, are a dime a dozen.
Ellingson goes with him. And in his opening interview on Edmonton Radio, Trevor Harris says, "I convinced Ellingson to come with us." And you're like, hey, back here, thanks for that, I guess. Right? But there is a certain amount of, look, I'm not excited about the idea of going into the season with Dominique Davis as our number one. Now they brought in Jennings.
Yep.
Whose bonus structure looks like they're prepared to pay him as a number one. But you have sort of...
Well, his bonus structure takes him up, if he achieves all bonuses, will take him almost to where Harris was last
year. Yeah, yeah. So they are prepared to allow him to become the number one. But we are sort of looking at, you know, Marcel Desjardins has done a nice job of putting this team together. Rick Campbell comes from the Calgary mindset where you are willing to cut bait a little bit and just it's time to let some guys go and turn this over a little bit. And I think that's sort of what they feel like here. And it's tough to see all these guys leave, but you can't just flush 3 or 4 years of great management down the toilet over one bad day, right? And these guys have earned at least a chance to go, all right, let's see what your plan is here.
5 years in, you've been to 2 Grey Cups.
Yeah.
You've been to 3 Grey Cups. You've won a Grey Cup in 5 years.
Yeah.
Right? And as Marcel Desjardins said, we're going to spend to the cap. Like, it's not like we're nickel and diming here.
No.
It's all about money allocation.
Right.
They have, for the most part, locked up their D.
Yeah.
That's all good to go.
Moses Madu is coming back.
Yeah. As you've said, they have they've made room for R.J. Harris, who was outstanding in some games last year. Give that guy more of a green light. Let's see what happens with Deontay Spencer.
Yeah.
Right? He's in Pittsburgh. It's a long shot for him to make the Steelers.
Agreed, yeah.
Right? And if he comes back, there's no saying he doesn't come here.
No, I think that's true.
But what Marcel has done is, and as you've alluded to, or maybe flat out stated, I may have blocked out, they've shown zero hesitation. He has shown zero hesitation to move on.
Yeah.
To not be emotionally attached to
especially
players.
Especially for an offensive line guy like Sir Vincent Rogers, you start getting into your 30s, man.
Yeah.
The game catches up to you in a real hurry.
And now, O-line, Ottawa's drafted there every year with their first round Canadian draft pick.
Yeah.
So they're deep there, but now in terms of do they have that Sir V, somebody who's going to be able to, as two right-handed quarterbacks, Jennings and Davis, do they have someone to protect his blind side? I'm not sure they have that guy right now.
Right.
Not as good as Sir V.
Right.
So to me, that is going to be the most glaring thing. A running back in Powell, yeah, you know what? Americans coming up here that can run the ball.
You can find them.
You can find those guys. They may be selling Hyundais in El Paso right now. I'm not entirely sure.
It's true, man. Yeah, it's been interesting. I don't know that I see the West having changed all that much, even with all those moves. I think Edmonton is better. They're not as good at quarterback, but they brought in some good pieces, at least for another year or so. I don't know what Mike Riley really does for BC because I don't love their receiving core.
Right.
Like, they'll be better.
He eats up more of their salary cap.
Yeah, he does,
man. That's really what he does.
Yeah.
Edmonton has, you know, Brock Sunderland there as GM, former assistant here in Ottawa. They've taken the former offensive coordinator, Jason Moss. He's out there.
Yeah.
They just keep plucking and keep plucking. You like what we're doing here? Yeah. But you're behind the curve, Edmonton. Right. Hey, Eskimos, even your name smacks of
passé.
So 1970. Yes, exactly right. You're behind the curve. And so I think, I'll be surprised. Ellingson's good. We'll miss him.
Yes.
We'll miss him, right?
Well, and just that piece of the history, right? Like
second and 28?
Second and 25 or whatever it was, yeah. You know, the little things like that. But there does come a time, especially in football, where you got to turn the page. And I think these are recognizable names. They're big names that are leaving, and that's why it hurts so much. I think that day I was irritated. I'm willing to give this management group a little time. Let's see what you come up with, right? Because to me, Jennings isn't really moving the needle for me.
I think...
There's a chance.
Now, the Jamie Elizondo system here drives me crazy.
Okay, and that was a big talking point on free agency day in the CFL was you didn't allow him to go and interview for a job as a head coach. You kept him here to be your offensive coach, and then you let his offense leave. So
yeah, but where I'm going with this is what he likes to run.
Where I'm going,
he's a bit of the system they were running in BC was more of the stretch ball, the long ball.
Yeah,
right. Elizondo is much more about spreading it to all parts of the field.
It's true.
Short pass. I think when you have two more mobile quarterbacks in Jennings and Davis, the Elizondo system, I think, will fit Jennings better than it did Harris. I think that's what you're going to see.
Well, I think that's what they're banking on. I think you're looking at what they're trying to do. I'm just not as sold yet.
You had
to pick up somebody, right? Like you had a gaping hole there because I don't know that Davis is.
Said.
Well, it's not. You've got a gaping hole. Come get it.
Yeah. Come and get your love.
I think we're going to wind this one down, man.
No, we're not.
Okay.
I'm also interested in I want to talk about Vegas. We touched on the Vegas Leaf game, right, in the McNabb.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
I want to talk about Vegas and all their hype about their attendance and their rabid fan base.
Right.
How did you let that many dirty-ass Leaf fans into your barn?
We travel, man.
Late last week. Like, honestly, what happened to the Knights' vow and all that shit you were going to do? How did that many Leaf fans get in there? There had to be 6,000 Leaf fans that game.
Easy. Do you think there was any...
You're saying easily 6,000 or I should go easy?
No. I think it was...
Easy, big fella. Easy.
You think... And I think it probably is just a coincidence, but last year I didn't. The first ever Leaf game in Vegas was New Year's Eve. That wasn't a coincidence. They were willing to look at a night in case things weren't going well that Toronto fans might travel. And they did. And we got crushed. This year,
woo!
It's on Valentine's Day. Seems a little more, it's a midweek, could just be the way the schedule panned out. But there was, again, as you said, a ton of Leaf fans. There was Toronto radio stations running Valentine's Day, come to Vegas and get married and then go to the Leaf game things. And couples were doing it. They sent O-Dog and the Overdrive crew down to oversee these nuptials.
Oh, God. I don't need the O-Dog at any formal function
man. O-Dog and Noodles are in your pew at the little fucking chapel.
Are they kissing?
Well, they could be. What the hell? I wasn't there.
It's Vegas.
Yeah,
whatever.
Sure. What happens in Vegas, man? Yeah, this was, though, 2 years in a row, the first 2 years of the franchise, where you have allowed Toronto to go in on notable occasions. Anything to that?
I think you're reaching.
I think the first one was legit. I think New Year's Eve last year was legit.
Okay.
I think a random Thursday in February.
I think they knew what they were going to have in terms of the fan base in the first year, that they were going to sell that arena out all the time, regardless.
Okay.
But clearly, it shows in the fact that there weren't that many Leaf fans there New Year's last year.
There was a lot, man.
Okay, but there
was. We were getting our asses kicked, so you didn't hear them.
Okay. Because last night it was just, I look at it and go, all right.
I think we lost 6-2 last year on New Year's Eve.
And I'm thinking, well, what the hell? People look down at Ottawa, but people only have to travel 300 kilometers to do that.
People in Kingston are Leaf fans.
Yeah, you fuckers. People got to travel got to go through immigration and you got to, like, forget about
We're coming, man.
What's your deal, Vegas? Honest to God. And listen, I'm listening to the play-by-play call, and it's not Joe Bowen. So to me, it's a Toronto guy.
Maybe, yeah, Joe Bowen's got meningitis right now or something. So it's
sorry about that, Joe.
Todd Crocker.
That's, or maybe it's likely an undercooked Harvey's Burgers. Perhaps. Not meningitis.
Still trying to get Joe on the fucking show.
Love you, Joe. You're
killing me, man.
Get well soon. How do you feel about that guy? What's the guy's name?
I think it's Todd Crocker.
How do you feel about him with Matthews' goal, his 100th, and him yelling out, and that's his 100th goal, ahead by a century?
Oh, I hadn't heard that. I like that.
I think it's super lame, and you should be ashamed of yourself, you stupid douchebag.
Oh, really? Little brother, you didn't like that?
You unoriginal piece of shit. What's wrong with you?
Okay.
Like, what? Ahead of what? What are you ahead by?
A century.
You just said. Of what?
A century.
All right. See, it fits.
And
like
they had to do it twice.
It fits like a square peg in a fucking round hole.
And then it hits somebody else, and then the second one goes in, and we're still waiting to see if they're going to give him the first one. Like, one of these is fucking 100.
It just seems totally forced. It's like that sound bite you're looking for, and I'm going to cram this in if he gets it.
Yeah. No,
like, it
does have that a little bit to it. You had this in your back pocket.
Yeah.
I did see a great tweet that said, you know what, it took Matthews 187 games to get 100 goals, and a lot of people are saying that's great. He started with 4 in one game. He fell off his pace in a huge way.
The pace is terrible. Yeah. and everybody knows the 100 goal mark is heavily celebrated.
Obviously, man. That's the what?
100 goals in 187 games. Look at that. Oh, my God. It's incredible.
He's had since then. So opening night, he gets 4 against Ottawa. He 18 times.
I remember it.
18 times has had 2 goals since then. Never another hat trick.
Seriously?
Yeah. It's weird.
That's super weird.
Yeah. It was interesting.
What happened? He was going to break. He was going to get 50 goals in 38 games this year. What happened to that?
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. It's all right.
Well, you missed a couple and then.
Yeah, no, I know, but I'd be willing to play. I would be willing to go with 50 of his own played games.
No, it's true. Still not happening. But
oh my God, the guy's going to break Gretzky's record.
I never thought that.
You did. You said it out loud.
Oh. Sometimes I forget I'm speaking into a microphone. What is this? Who's recording this?
Yes. Who's listening to this?
Why do you suck?
Yes. Why do you suck? Hey, are you prepared to eat shit?
I thought that was a well-worded question.
Okay.
For those of you who haven't caught it, TCS 300. Questions, your questions. We spent the whole show answering your questions. And of course, someone I presume to be a Flyers fan, are you prepared to eat shit on the Carter Hart call up? And then I kid, but seriously, eat shit.
I think he's really an Everett Silvertips fan.
As some, man, many are.
Right? Yeah, there's going to be 1,200 of them at least.
Yeah. Why don't we wind this one down? Hope you all have a great family day long weekend. You can give us a follow on all the social media stuff at Tall Can Audio, and we'll catch you all next week on an all-new Tall Can Sports.
Suck it!
We're not going to be fucking sucked this year! Yeah!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.